You're listening to Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News
on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM
and 1160 AM.
Good evening, 6:30 at KSL. Jeff Kaplan here, getting warmer. We're at 70 degrees. KSL's top story. Developing news you've been hearing about: encampments at some major universities, protesting for Palestinian rights and a ceasefire. Now an encampment is setting up at the University of Utah in President's Circle. No sooner does it form this afternoon than Governor Cox is already responding. The governor writing a post on X: "The First Amendment does not protect violence, threats to public safety, property damage, camping, or disruptions to our learning institutions." We're hearing that hundreds of students showed up to protest on the U campus, some even setting up tents and saying they intend to stay through the night. Meantime, Columbia University back east has begun handing out suspensions to student protesters. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, the encampments at Columbia University are still in place hours after a deadline to vacate. Columbia Vice President Ben Chang says the student protesters have left them with no choice.
The encampment has created an unwelcoming environment for many of our Jewish students and faculty, and a noisy distraction that interferes with the teaching, learning, and preparing for final exams.
Chang wouldn't say how many students were admonished, but said those students would not be able to attend classes or graduate. Meantime, arrests are underway at the University of Texas in Austin. Parts of Charlotte, North Carolina were in a lockdown this afternoon during an hours-long standoff between authorities and a suspect. Marshals were sent to serve a warrant when the felon opened fire. Neighbors describing the mayhem as police took over their house.
They used one of our bedrooms to set up a U.S. Marshal sniper in.
Three officers and the suspect died in the shootout. Another five officers were wounded, and two people who held officers at bay have been arrested. And they're picking up the pieces in Sulphur City, Oklahoma, following a weekend of severe weather. Tornadoes ripped apart their town, upending cars and demolishing buildings.
Our town's devastated, but we will rebuild this.
City Manager Andy Freeman vows to rebuild, even if it means bulldozing the town to start over. Meantime, a new round of severe weather is on the way tonight to the already battered Mid and Southwest. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
A Utah man who was filmed at the fatal shooting at the January 6th riot has been sentenced to 6 years in prison. KSL News Radio's Claire Scott with the story.
John Sullivan from Sandy reportedly filmed himself and other rioters storming the Capitol on January 6th. The U.S. Attorney's Office says Sullivan joined others in attempting to break down the House chamber door before gathering in the Speaker's lobby with a knife. This was where Sullivan reportedly filmed the fatal shooting of Ashley Babbitt. The office says Sullivan incited violence, using a megaphone to yell at other rioters to break windows and burn the place down.
Sullivan storming the Capitol wasn't about supporting one candidate or the other. Former FBI investigator Greg Rogers says Sullivan is the founder of Insurgents USA, an anti-establishment organization that basically wants anarchy. They want to take over the U.S. government. He noted that compared to some of the other rioters, Sullivan's sentence is actually short.
He wasn't charged with some of the counts of an insurgency and some of the other counts that have brought some of these January 6th guys are getting 20-year sentences. So this one, in the grand scheme of things, this one is sort of below the middle.
The U.S. Attorney's Office says Sullivan will spend 6 years in prison, then another three on parole afterward. A new witness took the stand at the Chad Daybell trial today with new evidence. KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe is in Boise with the latest.
A detective with the FBI took the stand. Agent Nicholas Balance shared data from cell phones on the days that both J.J. Vallow and Tylee Ryan were last seen. The days following that, he showed that Alex Cox, Lori Vallow Daybell's brother, was on the Daybell property those days and then went back to his apartment. There are also several phone calls between Cox, Lori Vallow Daybell, and Chad Daybell on those days. Daybell is charged with the murder of his former wife, Tammy Daybell, and Lori's two children, JJ and Tylee. He's very attentive today, sitting up, alert, even though some of this has been pretty dull testimony. Many jurors aren't quite as awake. Reporting in Boise, Amy Kobabe, KSL News Radio.
The state GOP convention over the weekend was frustrating for some, including first-time delegate Paul Stout.
There were a lot of in-your-face moment.
He tells Dave and Dujanovic there were times when the GOP chairman lost control of the crowd of 4,000. It turned into a shouting match. He says there was also plenty of confusion.
Delay after delay after delay. We were supposed to end at 6 p.m. It was written right there on the agenda. And it didn't end until after 11 o'clock at night.
That's Paul Stout there, who says, in his opinion, the convention was filled with inefficiency and frustration. KSL News Time, 6:35.